Heavenly Father, today we put on the full armor to protect us against attack. We put on the belt of truth to protect against lies and deception. We put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect our hearts from the temptations. We put the gospel of peace on our feet to walk in your light, peace, and freedom with the Holy Spirit. We rebuke anxious thoughts. We take up your shield of faith for protection to block and destroy all the darts and threats thrown at us by the enemy. We put on the helmet of salvation to cover our minds and thoughts, reminding us that we are children of a mighty King. We are forgiven, set free, saved by the blood of Jesus. We take up the sword of the Spirit, your living word, that has the power to demolish strongholds and is sharper than any double-edged sword. We come to you, Lord, in prayer daily. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. What's up, you guys? Welcome to The Imagination. I'm your host, Emma, and today I'm honored to finally get to introduce to you all former lawyer, researcher on scientific mysteries, MKUltra, and SRA, writer and author of three books, including his newest book about survivor Katie Groves, who many of you may know, survivor advocate, and someone who has been a huge inspiration for me and this podcast, Dr. Marcel Pulte. I was first introduced to Marcel through former podcast guest Ron Allen, who had met Marcel during a project Marcel was supporting called 50 Voices of Ritual Abuse that many of you are familiar with if you've been following this podcast. Ron, having been showcased in the 50 Voices Project, introduced me to Marcel so we could support the 50 Voices Project here on The Imagination. Marcel was the reason my incredible season 4 podcast opening episode was able to happen, featuring courageous survivors Rachel Vaughn, Max Lowen, and Elisa E. And I thank you with all my heart, Marcel. Marcel was so generous with collaborating, and it was and has been an honor to have representation from that project on this podcast. And now it's an honor to have Marcel on for his own episode. Marcel worked for 15 years in international law firms as an expert for company law and has co-authored several specialist articles. In a parallel to his former day job in the law firm, he would research scientific mysteries for many years until that led to what would become a full-time passion. Marcel is the author of three incredible books that can all be found on Amazon: Dark New World Order Part 1, MKUltra, Mind Control, Ritual Abuse, and a Global Agenda; New World Order Part 2, The Puppet Masters and Their Motives; and his most recent book, Uncle Sam's An Insider's Report from the Hell of Monarch Mind Control, which chronicles the testimony of survivor and whistleblower Katie or Dylan Groves, depending on how you know her, who has all but vanished from the internet for many years. She took to YouTube and other platforms to whistleblow the horror she experienced as a child and woke the world up in ways we had never been before. As mentioned, Marcel also supported a project called 50 Voices of Ritual Abuse, where survivors of SRA, MKUltra, and child sex trafficking came together from all over the world through testimony to share the horrors of ritual abuse in 10 to 15 minute video segments. This project is an instrumental masterpiece within the survivor movement, and I couldn't have been more honored to help support this project with Marcel's help. Marcel is an example of how not all heroes wear capes. As a brilliant company man, Marcel could have easily kept his fascination with scientific mysteries to himself and could have stayed behind the scenes where it would have been easier, but he didn't. When most went right, he went left. And I admire Marcel for his courage to be loud about unconventional topics and for all the work he's created and assisted with that has helped the survivor movement in monumental ways. The research Marcel has done on government-sponsored child slavery is astonishing, and it brings conclusive evidence to the table that the horrors you hear about on this podcast from survivors all over the world are not just speculation, but fact. His work is important because of the scientific ways it is broken down and explained, and most of all, because he takes the conspiracy out of the theory. The history of MKUltra, satanic ritual abuse, and mind control is beautifully broken down in his Dark New World Order series, and the respectful credence he gives to Katie / Dylan Groves in Uncle Sam's is both touching and appropriate. All too often, survivors go missing, are discarded, discredited, and eventually forgotten about. The whistleblowing that Katie slash Dylan did was not only critical for inspiring other survivors to come forward, but also because she opened our eyes in a big, terrible way to this world of MKUltra and how cult systems work with the government and the global enterprise of child slavery. Marcel's book brilliantly details the life of Katie slash Dylan so that she may never be forgotten or her words erased. I encourage you all to dig into Marcel's books and work as they truly are labors of love for all of us. Marcel is here today to talk about his pathway into his advocacy work, as well as to do some deep dives into the world of MKUltra and what his research has taught him. It's not every day you see a former lawyer jump into the world of survivors and child abuse, and I deeply admire Marcel, not only for his work, but for his courage to care enough to do something about it. The example Marcel leads with is one of a selfless servant and brave warrior, and we all have so much to learn and to be inspired by with his leadership. He could have and could be doing anything else with his time, energy, and brilliance, and instead he has stepped up to stand next to the wounded and to help set the captives free. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is something I can get behind. I know you will find just as much inspiration as I have in learning from Marcel, and I ask you all to give him your full attention so we can all learn some new things and come together to honor his research in a productive and meaningful way. Before I finish introducing today's guest, I wanted to give just a couple quick reminders and updates. If you'd like to be on the podcast as a guest or share any information privately with me, please email me at imagineabetterworld2020@gmail.com. You can also use this email if you'd like to be a part of my new book series featuring written survivor testimonies, and you can find the video with all the details on how to submit your testimony on any of my podcast channels. And lastly, I'd love your support on Substack, where I'm taking up investigative journalism as an outlet for me personally to share about my podcast, guests, and advocacy work. And you can subscribe to me there at www.emmacatherine.substack.com. All my links are in the show notes, and I'd love your support across all platforms, you guys. Thank you so much for caring so deeply about survivors and for helping to make the imagination the safest space on the internet for survivor and whistleblower disclosures. So you guys, without further ado, please help me in welcoming today's guest of honor, voice for the voiceless, independent, and tireless researcher and journalist, content creator, anti-child abuse and survivor advocate, angel for the children, and survivor superhero, Dr. Marcel Pulte. Marcel, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you so much for inviting me to your podcast and for this very, very nice introduction. And I have to give it back to you because you're a warrior for me, a unique warrior, having created this very important and also unique channel, giving survivors a possibility to speak out. So I think it's very well appreciated in the whole community. I have received tremendously good feedback on your podcast and appreciate very much to take part in your podcast today.
It's an honor to have you. You know, it goes both ways again. You know, I know that the 50 Voices of Ritual Abuse, that project was a little bit different than what I did, but it still brought together this whole community of survivors and it corroborated everything that this podcast does, you know, in the same way in it, but different, you know, and it's going to take more people like you and I and other, you know, I know that there was a whole team behind that project, but it's going to take people like that to come together and to actually bring these survivors together in the community and show how powerful their voices are together, you know, and you've been an instrumental part in helping me share that project on this podcast. So thank you with all my heart. That was a really special episode to get those ladies together and to help represent, you know, this other project that is very, very near and dear to my heart that you guys have done. And that I hope everybody, if you haven't watched that, to go watch that episode and then to go to that YouTube channel and go on their website and learn about it. And I'll have that in the show notes and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But Marcel, today's your first day here. I would love to have you on a million times because you are a wealth of knowledge. These books that you have written are just tremendous. They're meaty, they're good, they're filled with information. Your research is astounding. And I wanted to start by asking you, what got you into advocacy work? Because your background was in law. That is not something that you hear about very often, that somebody in that field ends up becoming so passionate about something that is so different in so many ways. So I wanted to hear your story and learn about your background a little bit, who you are, and how you got into this movement advocating for survivors.
Yeah, sure. And before I forget it, thank you very much for a representation of the 50 Voices project. This was very important to get the message out in the English-speaking world that this project exists. So thank you with all my heart for doing this. Yeah, getting to my story, as you mentioned before, I worked for many years, for about 15 years in international law firms as an expert for company law. So during my time as a lawyer, I did never get into touch with MK Alter or ritual abuse or similar topics. It was a quite different work. However, working as a lawyer, I sometimes took me some time to deal with other topics. For example, I studied for some years physics besides my job as a lawyer because I became very interested in physics and how the universe works and the laws that hold this universe together and so on. Finding out that there's much we do not know in the mainstream science about how everything works and there are many things we still have to find out. And another thing was that I was working for some time as a hypnotherapist because I became interested in the topic of hypnosis and using this as a tool to help people with certain illnesses like depression or certain disorders, and found it very helpful to have in a very short time a success in healing. And in the context of this work, which I did besides my job as a lawyer, which was already very unusual, my colleagues in the law firm wondered what I'm doing there and why I'm doing this and couldn't understand it quite well. And in the context of this work, I firstly heard about MK Ultra. I did not know at this time what this is and what I should make out of it, and started researching MK Ultra, and very soon found out that it's well connected to ritual abuse. And the very big finding that I had during my research is that you do not have as a source only some internet pages where you don't know who produced them and or who's behind those, behind the content. And you don't just have some at this time in 2017, 18, when I was researching it, just a few survivors' voices that you can find. But that there is a huge amount of expert literature written by therapists and psychologists, in particular in German, that have written about ritual abuse, not about MKUltra, but about ritual abuse in detail, where you find in detail everything or almost everything you need to know about the topic. What is DID, dissociative identity disorder, how it is produced by the perpetrators, how they are programming the alters that they produce by trauma and abuse, and so on. And it was nearly unbelievable what amount of information I could find in those expert books and expert articles. And no one had looked in those books before because they were mainly written for other therapists to exchange their knowledge on the topic to help each other healing their patients, their clients. And maybe some of the books were also written for survivors, but they were not intended to reach the bigger public. So I started then comparing what I found in the expert literature by German therapists with the expert literature written by US therapists, and very soon realized that they were writing about the same stuff. And this in detail, they described the same techniques applied by the perpetrators, to split their victims. They describe the same ways of programming. The programs even had sometimes the same names. So it was clear that those experts from different countries that have worked, some of them for more than a decade with many, many clients, were describing the same thing that seemed to be a global topic. And from this on, from this finding on, I researched more sources and found a number of very good sources. For example, there had been minutes by a committee set up in 1995 in Washington, D.C., the Advisory Committee on Human Radiation Experiments. And this was intended to find out something about, like the name said, radiation experiments. However, during the hearings, there were three testimonies and three witnesses and a therapist that were not only describing that they had undergone radiation experiments, but also MKUltra. So by pure chance, we now have the minutes of a official hearing where you can read in detail what is MKUltra. They even mentioned the locations where it happened. They mentioned the names of the doctors and so on. And like this, I found many other sources that corroborated that all of this MKUltra and ritual abuse is exists, that it is connected, and that at the end, and this was the big question for me, why I find programming in cult victims, but also in MKUltra victims, because now we take this for a fact or for granted, but you first, if you hear about it, you're astonished and have to think, how could this be? What has the CIA or the US military to do with cults? Why are using the same techniques of splitting a person's mind and programming the alters? And at the end, the conclusion was, it's all the same people. The cults have come into the military and the intelligence service and infiltrated those areas of society and used the more technical possibilities they had with all the financing and funding that was able in MKUltra to further develop the very, very old techniques of programming and so on. And this, in a short version, in a nutshell, is how I came to research all of this. So, and I have to correct you, I'm still a so-called, in German, it's a syndicate lawyer, a lawyer working in a company, but I'm not working anymore in law firms. And this leaves me much more time, because in an international law firm, it's usual to work until 10, 11 or at midnight, 10, 11 at night or midnight or in the morning. And then it's kind of difficult to do some research and writing books. Now working in a company, I have better working times, and this leaves me enough time and energy to do my research and to write articles or books.
That's amazing. What do people that you work with know that you do this, or what do people think about these two dynamics in your life?
Some of them know. I'm not talking about this at my work, but I found out that even at the highest levels of the company, they heard of it. Someone maybe sent them a link or something and said, look what this colleague of us is doing. And it was accepted, because I do it in my spare time, and everything is backed up by sources. I'm not inventing things. However, it keeps to be a very critical subject seen by many people in the public as still a conspiracy theory.
Yes, 100%. And that's what I really like about your work, is it does combine these different elements, and it shows the relationships of how these inner workings come together as a well-oiled machine that seem separate and they're really not.
Yeah.
And so I'd love to turn it over to you. I want to dig into this a little bit more because I think this history and what you've discovered and what you've chronicled is amazing. And obviously, everything that you've chronicled goes way beyond what we can do in this one episode. But I'd love to pick maybe a starting point where we can talk about some of the history behind MKUltra, cults, and maybe some of the earlier stuff in your book that you cover.
Yeah, sure. I think it's important to know it did not start with MKUltra, which was a project initiated by the CIA at the early 1950s. But that this is a technique, the technique of splitting the mind or the consciousness of a person and programming or conditioning the parts that arise during this process. So it's important to understand it's a coping mechanism. If the mind, especially of a young person, of a child, is getting in a situation where pain and fear and horror becomes unbearable, consciousness splits and a new personality, so-called personality part, arises to take over all of this pain and horror to enable the core person to survive this situation. And therefore, the core person does not even remember what has happened during this traumatic episode because it has been taken over by this new personality part. However, I think personality part is a wrong term. It's used by the therapists. But if you think about it, you have to ask yourself, what should this be, a personality part? So I think it's much more appropriate to say what is split during this process is not the personality of a person, but the consciousness, or you can say the soul, maybe you can say the soul of this individual. So after this, you have several, if it's repeated, you have several consciousness parts or soul parts that can all inhabit the same body and take over the body if it's if this personality part of this alter, you should say, or this inner person is put forward, for example, by using a certain trigger. And but I think this is difficult because the concept of consciousness is not very well accepted in the scientific community. However, in my work, it was very much corroborated that something like a consciousness exists because, just to give an example, many survivors, and maybe you have heard of this in your interviews, they describe having out-of-body experiences. So if you have an out-of-body experience, what happens is your consciousness leaves the mind, and therefore the consciousness is able to perceive, for example, your own body being abused in this moment. So it's very clear that this concept of consciousness is describing reality. And another example would be that Katie Groves that you mentioned, and I think she's the only one describing this. She's describing a process that is called dissociative viewing. And that's very interesting because dissociative viewing is not remote viewing, which we also should talk about maybe in a later episode, because I used remote viewing also to corroborate Katie Groves' story, and the outcome was excellent and overwhelming. It was 100% proof that her story is true, because the remote viewers could describe under blind conditions the underground facility in Texas called Uncle Sam's Snuff Factory, therefore the title Uncle Sam's, that she talks about in her videos. But we will get back to this later. What I wanted to point out is that she is describing something that is not called remote viewing, but dissociative viewing. And it's important people know about this, and survivors and therapists know about this, because this is a process where alters are created that exist outside the body. And the perpetrators use such out of body alters. For example, an assassin altar or a super soldier altar, because they can use those out of body altars to install them or to place them behind the person, and thus enabling a 360 degree view, because all the time those different out of body altars that have been created before can observe the environment, can maybe go to the next room before the person physically enters this next room, and can give information to the person. So this is a very special technique, dissociative viewing, that also confirms that the concept of consciousness is describing reality. This was just to get to the point of what is splitting, what does splitting really mean? Splitting personality, which is indeed or actually splitting consciousness. And what is very important is that this concept that you can split the consciousness of a person and create alters that can then be programmed or conditioned for certain tasks is something mainstream psychiatry or psychology does not know, because for ourselves who have heard a lot about this and talked to many survivors, it's kind of normal. But actually, it's not at all normal. How can someone came up with the idea that it is even possible to split the consciousness? So I think this is a very, very old knowledge, maybe a knowledge that does not come from humans, but we don't have to go deeper in this now. And this knowledge has been protected by a certain, if we want to talk about the history of MKUltra and ritual abuse, by certain mystery schools and cults that developed out of it millennia ago, and knew that they can use this technique of splitting the soul for producing like a perfect slave for their aims, this is very apparent. Forwarded from one generation, for example, of a satanic family. Most of the cults you can describe as satanic cults, but some have other worship other deities, so it does not describe every cult. However, do not go too much into detail. The usual way is that we have a satanic family and that uses this technique on their own children to make their own children perpetrators, that then forward this occult knowledge and this technique of splitting the mind and programming children to the next generation. And it seems that this has been done for many, many generations. So this is the origin of MKUltra programming, you should say. And MKUltra then came into place, as I mentioned before, in the beginning of the 1950s. And it seems to me that the CIA has been infiltrated by members of cults. If you call a certain elite of them Illuminati or not is not so important, but those members then used this military or intelligence community environment to further research this very old ancient technique of programming people, and they had in MKUltra about 149 sub-projects dealing with certain scientific questions. For example, one project was dealing with certain substances that might enable a trance state and so on, and used all those scientists and even universities to further develop this very old technique and to bring it to a next level. For example, using new techniques like sensory deprivation chambers, where you can put a person that will not hear or see or feel anymore, and thus can reach a trance state or a psychotic state in a very short time, in particular if you add some drugs like LSD. Other techniques like virtual reality, where you can produce trauma or install trauma in a victim without real or physical pain. You don't have to kill a baby in front of him or her. You can use the very advanced virtual reality technology to make the person think that this happens. And we know from psychology or from science, there are so-called mirror neurons, which have the effect that if you perceive something as an individual, certain pattern patterns in your brain, in your brainwave, or certain patterns representing your brainwaves behave the same way as if it happened physically. So perceiving something at the end has the same effect under certain conditions like experiencing it. Virtual reality is something very effective to traumatize a victim. Katie Groves also describes it, but many other survivors like Kathy O'Brien, for example, and others have mentioned virtual reality technique before. So this is what MKUltra is all about, bringing it to the next level. While this project became somehow public in the 1970s, there were some Senate hearings and so on. Some journalists were writing about it. They tried to bring it to a next level of secrecy by officially terminating it in the 1970s, and almost all available documents were destroyed. However, continuing it in another form and in another way, many people or many survivors talk about Project Monarch as the successor of this project. However, you won't find any documents having the name Project Monarch on it, or at least I'm not aware of them. You just have a number of documents from the project MKUltra times that confirm that this project existed, but they do not describe, and this is important, they do not describe this technique of splitting the mind and of programming people. However, as I mentioned before, this was something described by witnesses before this official hearing, the Advisory Committee on Human Radiation Experiments. So this is more or less where we stand now. We have to assume that MKUltra, this project continues under the name of Project Monarch. Katie Groves is one of the persons describing it, but for example, Keith O'Brien already mentioned it in the 1990s. Many more survivors have been come forward in the last years mentioning Monarch or MKUltra and corroborating all of this, which was like a very hard to grasp topic in the recent decades.
Thank you so much for that. That's a really important topic, because that in itself can make people look the other way and say, there's no way that can happen, you know, and you described it perfectly with explaining how in traditional university and academic settings, this has been suppressed from our general knowledge about what we know about our bodies and what we're taught about our bodies, you know. So then when people do come out, they're left without treatment, they're left without people understanding them, they're called crazy, you know, and it's the complete opposite. Like, people that we're crazy for not believing it. You know, we, like you said, there's documentation that this existed. MKUltra did 100% exist in the government's mind between a certain period of time. And it worked well. You could see that with the documents that did come out. So why would they stop it? You know, that's what's funny about what people, you know, how people think about it. They're like, that could never happen. It's like, well, for one, it did happen. And for two, it worked so well. Why would they just quit doing it?
Yeah. And you have another parallel, which shows exactly the same technique. And therefore, I mention it a lot. And this is the what I mentioned before, the remote viewing. The CIA in the 1970s started researching so-called remote viewing, where you should get to information via, you can say, psychic means about a certain target or object or person. And when they started this research, they were not sure if there was anything behind it. And this project, it started under the name, or it had different names, Project Stargate, Project Centerlane, and other names. And what is very, very interesting and important, and this alone should change our perspective on the world, on the universe. This project is very well documented by thousands of documents that you can easily download from the CIA online page, the CIA FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, online library, where you can find all those all those documents on Project Stargate, stating in detail that remote viewing is a real phenomenon, that it can be trained and that it can be used for their purposes. And this is very astounding. And when this became public, because as I said at the beginning of this project in the 1970s, when the physicists like Harold Puthoff and Russell Targ worked on this project, they could not know how successful it would be. And they even mentioned expert articles in the very well-known Journal of Nature about the remote viewing work. Interestingly, with Uri Geller, because many think Uri Geller is like a showman and nothing is behind him. However, they found out that he indeed had strong psychic abilities and was very good at remote viewing. You find in this Nature article the drawings he did under blind conditions of the targets they gave to him. So, and the remote viewers that worked for the CIA, even later on when they quit the military, wrote books on the topic. They did lectures on the remote viewing technique. So it became known to some people that there is such a project, and they did the same what they did with the MK Ultra project. They officially terminated the Project Stargate, obtaining before an expert statement that said that all this led to nothing, although the documents that you can find prove the contrary. But they needed this official statement by some experts to have a reason to terminate this project and to say to the public, and you can still find this explanation on Wikipedia, that all this research led to nothing and therefore it was time to end the project. However, what they did was, but I can just assume it, they put this level on a this project on a next level of secrecy, continuing it under another name, maybe with other persons, because it was so successful that it would not have made any sense to terminate it. And this is also something that I very often found in my research on MK Ultra and ritual abuse, that the perpetrators coming from the from the military background and the perpetrators coming from the cult background are very interested in the psychic abilities of the victims and try to enhance those psychic abilities under traumatic conditions and bring them, for example, to remote viewing. As I mentioned before, in Katie Grove's case, to dissociative viewing, to have out-of-body experiences, and so on, because they know such phenomena exist. And if you are able to use those phenomena for your aims, you have a very powerful tool. And I talked to survivors that confirmed that they had this these abilities, and some of them still have.
Wow. And that brings up such a good point too. You know, these spiritual gifts that we have that get suppressed, and the physicality that they teach us, that our bodies are just these 2D models. We're not special. We're just these sort of ants that are supposed to work 9 to 5 every day, and there's nothing cool about us, you know? And to me, learning about all of this, it's not only shocking and obviously absolutely heart-wrenching because you hear how these things have been used and developed, but at the same time, you realize how amazing our bodies are and all the things that we're not taught about ourselves. You know, we're not taught any of this. And so we don't have this knowledge, and we go through life just, you know, believing our government telling us that we're absolutely nothing and we don't matter. And it's like, man, if we only knew what we are capable of, we would give ourselves such a big hug. If we knew that our body could dissociate whenever we're in extreme trauma, that it tries so hard to protect us, you know, and that we have these gifts that are given to us at birth that are just sort of, you know, educated out of us by lies, you know, and it's just amazing. And that's one thing I love about your research, is it demystifies some of these things that have been propagated to be woo-woo or untrue or fiction, you know, and you bring it back in a very scientific and almost clinical way, where you share actual, you know, events and ways that this stuff has been used behind the scenes, because like you said, it is secret knowledge. It's stuff that we don't have access to. And that's the important thing to know. Like, we're not meant to know this stuff. And it's miraculous that it's starting to come out.
Yeah. And it also shows that the scientific community and media must be very controlled, because if you consider those documents on Project Stargate, they have been published, or they were obtainable via the Freedom of Information Act at the beginning of the year of the 2000s. So for more than 20 years, these thousands of documents with explicit content are publicly available. You can find them on the internet, not only on the CIA page, but on other internet pages as well. However, it did not stir a great public interest or a scientific interest in this phenomenon of remote viewing, which you would expect if something such extraordinary is documented so well by not only one, but thousands of documents. You should expect many universities jumping on this and trying to find out, how did the CIA do this and can we reproduce it? And it's very easy to reproduce it, because the technique that the CIA developed to enable their soldiers to use remote viewing, they are known in detail. There are certain protocols you have to use to be able to produce such an effect. You have to study it for some time, but I worked with, for example, some remote viewers that have, on one way, a certain talent, but that exactly use this CIA technique and produce very astonishing results. So everyone can do this, and it could be public knowledge if not everything was controlled like it is controlled nowadays.
100%. Yes. Yeah. And that's the sad thing, is that we're so undereducated, and, you know, so many things get ignored in a sense, because our minds cannot comprehend that something like this could be real, that it could happen. It's just beyond anything that our educations teach us. And we were in education for so long, and it's like a brainwashing system in itself. It just kind of strips all the magic out of humanity, and just really puts us in this sort of 2D model of who we are. And it's so untrue. Yeah. And one of the things that I really loved that you helped support You were such a big supporter of the 50 Voices project and gave that project so much of a voice in itself and being able to help people like me connect with it. And I wanted to see how that work corroborated the research that you had done prior to doing that project and how that sort of intermixed with and taught you even more about, you know, what you were already doing.
Yeah, it was a really great and important corroboration of my previous work, because the idea behind the 50 Voices project was to show the pattern behind the experiences of survivors from all over the world, from different countries. We have in this project testimonies from survivors from Germany, from Austria, from Switzerland, from Australia, from the United States, from the UK, from Belgium, from the Netherlands, and so on. To have a chance to demonstrate those patterns, the idea was to give each survivor a very short time for speaking out, but in a structured way, to ask certain questions, for example, how did you come into contact with ritual abuse? Or another question, what were typical experiences? Or another question, how did the perpetrators make the victims or children comply, and so on. We had the chance by collecting all those survivor voices, all those testimonies, to see if there is a pattern behind the experiences, or are they very different and there is no red line that you can see behind those testimonies. However, it became very clear, and everyone that watches those testimonies, and by the time or the 50 testimonies are online now, you can see that survivors from different countries describe exactly the same. It's the same way they came into contact with ritual abuse or MKUltra, and this is usually by their family, by a family member putting them in this very cruel kind of abuse and trauma. However, in some cases, it's not the family itself this which is involved, for example, in the cult, but these are only rare cases. It's just a family member, which usually is a pedophile, and which offers his own or her own child to other perpetrators, and by getting in contact with other perpetrators, they at the end also get into contact with the perpetrators with the cult background and thus get into ritual abuse. However, the more common way is that the whole that the own family is part of the cult and tries to do the same thing that they learn from their parents and grandparents, and this is to abuse their own child and to make their own child a perpetrator itself. And this is one pattern that clearly arises. And another pattern is the kind of abuse and the kind of mind control the survivors had to endure. And when you hear the testimonies, it's very clear it's the same techniques and the same kind of abuse that they are describing. Very interesting is that some survivors from different countries that do not know each other even mentioned the same crime locations and crime locations that had not been known before. So this is a very strong corroboration that the story is not invented, or that someone just read some other or heard some other survivors' testimonies and tried to reproduce it, but that these are own unique experiences. However, experiences that happened sometimes, not every time, at a certain location that by pure chance was mentioned by another survivor. For example, one of these locations is the castle of Heidelberg. Heidelberg is a city in Germany. And this was mentioned not only by German survivors, but also survivors from other countries that were brought to Germany. Because this is another pattern. It's not rare that a survivor is being brought to other countries as well. So, for example, Chantal Frey, who also wrote a very good book on her experiences. It's also available in English. It's called I Speak Out. She's a so-called mother of darkness. She was raised in an Illuminati family, and she describes how she was brought as a small child to other countries by small private planes, and had been brought, for example, to the White House and to London. She had to take part, for example, in a very big event in the so-called Sagrada Familia. This is like a cathedral in Barcelona in Spain, where many celebrities came together for a kind of satanic wedding, where she was married to a person representing Satan, and a woman had to take part whose abdomen was split open and a baby was taken out and killed, with some cannibalism also taking place. And she even, not in her book, because I told her it's not good to mention the names in the book for legal reasons, but in later interviews, she even mentioned the names of all those celebrities and politicians and members of royal families that took part in this satanic wedding in the Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. And this is just one example, and it was corroborated by many survivors, that even at a very young age, those cult victims are sent to other countries for certain tasks, and that those perpetrators are globally connected.
Yes, that's a good point too. That's something that I learned doing this podcast was the same. You know, I meet people here in America who are flown to Paris and London and wherever else, you know, and then you meet people from other countries, and it seems like there's a system, you know, there's specific locations for whatever reason that are very meaningful for them to have some parts of these families or you know, positions of these cults or parts of these sub programs travel to these specific locations to do a specific ritual or how you said missions and stuff like that too, you know? And that's one thing that I really love about getting 50 people together, like how you guys did, is it corroborates, you know, that's been something that has been really heavy on my heart since I started doing this, was understanding that these testimonies are the proof that we're looking for. You know, victims weren't given a file of proof from their abusers and here you go on your merry way. Like they're left without help. They're left without money. They're left with just their voice. And because of that, people think they're crazy because what they're saying isn't taught to the everyday person, you know? And so getting all these people together, how you said strangers, and listening to their testimonies that have never met each other, but they're saying the same exact things. You know, and people, I think, are sometimes resistant to listening to this stuff because they're like, oh, it goes against my religious beliefs or whatever it is. You know, it's too hard for me to listen. You know, and it's like, well, for one, imagine living it. But for two, if you're wondering what the truth is of the world, you need to turn off your TV right now. And you need to listen to these testimonies because these testimonies validate the truth. You take all the commonalities of what everybody has in common, you put them together, and all of a sudden you have a puzzle that fits beautifully together that we never get in mainstream.
Yeah. And I think the 50 Voices Project matches very good your podcast, because in 50 Voices, as I said before, the testimonies are quite short because the aim is demonstrating the pattern and thus proving the existence of ritual abuse and MK Ultra. And in your podcast, you're giving survivors the opportunity to speak out for a much longer time, to get much deeper in their own stories. So I think it's a very good way if you use both tools the 50 Voices YouTube or internet page and your podcast to get a very good insight in what is going on. Also for therapists, for example, you want to study the topic because it's not there are no lectures during their time at university, and they need sources to get the information. And here you have two very good sources where you have a huge amount of information at one place, your podcast and the 50 Voices project.
100%. And I was so excited whenever you guys came up with that, because that was the whole reason why I started my podcast. I was looking for somebody interviewing survivors because I wanted to go learn from them and I couldn't find anything. And now I know that there are resources out there. There's great podcasters that are, you know, starting their podcast or were out and I just didn't know. But I love seeing what you guys have done, because that's so important to do that and to allow these stories to be shared, to allow these people to have a voice and to get them together to corroborate their story. And I love that you guys did the shorter, because my podcast can be a little bit long for people if they're just starting. It's too much, you know, and I think especially if somebody is a little bit newer, giving them a little sample of it is much more digestible than trying to take in, you know, 2-3 hours. And then it's really good for advocates like me and for even seasoned people to just have a library where you don't have to hear all the, you know, details around it. You can just go learn all the key things that you need to know in a short period of time. It condenses it. It's there for you to learn, and you can accelerate your learning in a very, very fast period of time. So I really, yeah, really love this project, and it does. Like it, I think both of what we've done with these platforms, they go together so well. And I hope that more people continue to get creative with how they want to do something similar, you know, but it's going to take people like you and the team behind 50 Voices to bring something to life and then show other people an example of what can be done. So I commend you all so much. I think that project was revolutionary, you know, and we've shared guests, the ones that you shared. And then there's a couple of guests I've interviewed that also were on the 50 Voices. And that was a really important collection of testimonies. So I encourage people, if you're listening to this podcast and you enjoy this and you have not gone and supported 50 Voices, that you absolutely 100% need to. And so I know that we're sort of coming up on our time limit. And so I wanted to give you some time. For one, I know we talked about some of the information in your books, but I wanted you to share a little bit about your Dark New World Order books and what people can expect in them and then where they can find them. And then also to talk a little bit about, and I'd love to have you on to talk more about Katie/Dylan, but your newest book that just came out recently is phenomenal. And I want you to be able to plug this too, the Uncle Sam's book.
Yeah, sure. The Dark New World Order books, part 1 and 2, the idea of writing them came up when I started researching ritual abuse and MKUltra, because I found so much information and so many good sources that I had to structure all this input. And then very soon arised the idea I can use all this to write it down in book form. And to inform the public, because I realized it's so important that people know this. And on the other hand, I, as a lawyer, having worked in international law firms, knew what I I knew when I present such a topic, such a very, very critical topic, asserting that the U.S. government is involved in splitting children's minds and programming them, and that there are satanic cults all over the world working together. I knew I had to do it in a way that I present very good proof. So every tiny bit of information in this book is backed up by footnotes and the sources you can find them in. Like I said, in many times, it's the expert literature written by German or U.S. therapists or other good sources like those minutes from the advisory committee or CIA documents or books written by survivors themselves. I try to outline for someone who has never heard before about ritual abuse and EPCA ultra, first of all, what this is, how it works, how these techniques work, how, and this is very important, how complex those techniques of creating whole inner worlds in the mind of a victim and producing sometimes hundreds of inner parts or persons for certain tasks, how this is all achieved, and how at the end ritual abuse is linked to MKUltra. This is very much what is described in part one. I first intended to write one book, but while I was writing it, I realized it would be better to split it up in two parts and to bring out first a part one that very much keeps on a physical lane or physical plane, I should say, and on a physical plane, by dealing with MKUltra and ritual abuse and how it's all connected. And only in the second part, I'm talking about what I think is behind all of this, because this is something which is even more difficult for people to understand or to accept. And this is that we are not dealing only here with human perpetrators, but that there are powers and influences that are outside of this world, but that can explain why this happens and how this happens. And for the second book, I knew I did even need more proof, because touching those even more delicate or problematic topics, I had to back up everything by even more sources. When I started, just to give you an example, about phenomena like demonic possession and so on, and about certain entities described by survivors and other testimonies that seem to be behind this phenomenon, or which seem to be on the top of the power hierarchy or controlling the Illuminati. And this is the content of book two. And I think it was a good idea to split it up, because I received a lot of, or at least some negative comments, maybe also from perpetrator side, I don't know, on book two, because they said, okay, book two was quite good, but in part two, he's talking about things I cannot accept anymore, or I cannot believe in. And they even did not analyze the sources that I brought and that I cited. They just said, okay, this is something I get out now. It's too much for me. However, I think it's very crucial for our understanding, and also for finding a solution to see the whole picture of it, the whole phenomena. And I think it was about 2 years later when I followed the channel of Katie Groves, where she gave excellent information on the topic of ritual abuse and MKUltra. I suddenly realized that channel was kind of taken down. And more important, that Katie Groves, which is the person that talked about all of this, suddenly disappeared, and a new personality part or alter arised by the name of Dylan, that not only did not speak about MKUltra anymore, but in some videos indicated that this part had a great fear to talk about it, and was been forbidden by whoever to talk about it. And then even this ended when the whole channel broke down. And for a very long time, there was no more information out on Katie Groves. Therefore, I thought that maybe not only the corp or the personality called Katie Groves was kind of destroyed, but that even she maybe has been killed or has been brought back to this underground facility in Texas. However, some months ago, someone pointed out to me that there's a new channel with only a handful of followers. Her old channel had about, I'm not quite sure, 30 or 50,000 followers. Some videos of her had more than, I think, 200,000 or more views, but now she's back with a very, very small channel and talking in a very weird way. So I think she's still extremely controlled, and it's not the personality part that brought up all this information before, but it's just a puppet used by the perpetrators, maybe to even destroy her credibility that was shown in her former videos, because Katie Groves is highly intelligent. She has extraordinary abilities, for example, in analytics or mathematics. She was also trained as a programmer herself. So she had a lot of inside knowledge, and a lot of it she revealed in her channel. So it was just a matter of time that perpetrators would not allow this to happen anymore. And yeah, this is, in a nutshell, the three books I wrote about this topic.
I really love that you gave Katie that chance to shine, because I think regardless, it's been hard for her to stay online, you know? Yeah. And we don't ever know with some of these survivors that they've really come out publicly and divulged so much information. To see a YouTube channel like that eventually get terminated, which could happen, if that's the only place that you can find this information, then once that's gone, it's gone, you know? And you sort of took that and eternalized it for her so people could have access to it, either who aren't online, so you're reaching a whole different demographic than she could have with people who read books, but you're also giving people the opportunity to preserve her and to learn about her in a way that they can keep forever and hold on to, regardless of if she's on this YouTube channel or that one or whatever happens. You know, you have preserved her story and made it into a legacy, which I really love, you know, and because these testimonies are so important. And it's not like these aren't the people that normally are invited onto podcasts or, you know, I mean, really anywhere. You know, they're so outcasted from society, and it's sad that she's had to try to do all of this all by herself, you know? And I just want to commend you for having the courage to write a book on this, because she had one of the most, for me, impactful stories, not because her story was more horrific, but because I found her very early on. She was somebody I found very early on in my own awakening. And what she was saying about Uncle Sam's, it rocked my world. You know, I remember just sitting there with my jaw on the ground thinking, this happens in the world? How are we not in the streets like protesting right now? Like, how is this happening? And we're just sitting in our homes going on about our life. Like, this is so horrible, you know? And those videos, I know she's had trouble circulating at times, and then also, you know, being able to keep her channel online, you know. So I really love that you did this, Marcel.
Yeah, this had to be done. Her testimony has to survive because it's so important. And the task for me was to analyze all the videos she has made, and to it's about 200 videos, but not all of them are dealing with MK Ultra. She is talking about other stuff. But to extract all the information from those videos and present it in a structured way, this was the main task I had to fulfill. And a second aspect was that I wanted to corroborate her testimony by comparing it to testimonies of other survivors. For example, if she's mentioning certain specifics or details, I, in many cases, could compare it or could show that something similar or the same was described by another survivor, for example, by Elisa E. I mentioned a lot of times, or Chantal Frey, I mentioned a lot of times, because it becomes quite apparent that what Katie Groves describes are the same experiences. and very specific ones that are described by a few other survivors. And so this was also a good cooperation, this comparison. Apart from the remote viewing, I also commissioned that gave 100% proof that her story is real, that the underground facility exists, because it was three remote viewers that independently, under blind conditions, they did not know that the task was about Cater Groves or an underground facility, or even that the task came from me, but all of them described an underground facility. They described, at least one of them, very explicitly the MKUltra. One perpetrator even had a or drew the machine that was used to split Katie's Grove's mind or other victims' minds. And interestingly enough, this is a machine where you have one part that analyzes the brainwave patterns, and you see cables going from this machine to a big helmet. This helmet could be put under electricity to shock the person and to split the mind, and at the same time measure the brainwave activity. And it was very interesting for me to see, when I saw the video of this remote viewing session, when this person was drawing this machine, I instantly recognized it, because the same machine was drawn by another survivor and is displayed in the book by Dr. Alice Miller. And it was drawn by the survivor some decades ago. And I could be sure that this perpetrator had never read the book of Dr. Alison Miller, although, and even more, she was not aware about what she's perceiving there. However, drawing the same machine, so it was 100% sure that was a MKUltra scenario that she was describing there. And interestingly enough, all three of those perpetrators found another project that was conducted in this underground facility that Katie Groves never spoke of. And this is a very advanced breeding project where was used genetics. And it seems that parts of the consciousness that were split before were used by combining this consciousness part with DNA to produce living beings. And this answered a question that I have asked myself before, and this was, why did Katie Groves experience so-called exponentially splitting? And this is something that, as far as I know, only she describes, where I use certain techniques like inner splitting factories to split the mind in not only millions or billions, but even more parts of consciousness. And I wondered myself, what sense did this have for the perpetrators? They were not able to use or to program all those billions and more of consciousness parts. But when then the remote viewers found those breeding projects, it became quite clear that one reason for this was to use those consciousness parts to combine them in this very advanced breeding project with DNA to produce an army of living beings. Yeah. So it, at the end, it all made sense what came out in my research, and in particular in this remote viewing.
Wow, that is so fascinating. That's incredible. And if we just think of all the different ways that these gifts that have been suppressed could be used for good, you know, I had Rachel Vaughn on, who you introduced to, and she talks a lot about her work helping to sort of re-energize and re-bless the ley lines that have been inverted satanically with dark energy, you know, and she is really applying it to nature and to these different parts of our world that have been, you know, corroded with toxicity and negative energy by these cult systems, you know, in our government, who understand the energetic part of all of this. And we don't. We just go through life thinking that it's just all physical. And this stuff is really important to know, because regardless of if we're using it or not, or have any interest of it at all in our life, the enemy knows all about it and can walk circles around us on how to defeat everybody in the world with stuff like this. And if we know how to reclaim these gifts and take them back and use them against our enemy, in a sense, and in the ways that God intended these amazing people to use them, I think we can, you know, do so much more work like what you and Rachel are doing, where this can be used as an investigative tool to help bring corruption down, you know, in the same ways that it's been used to cause corruption.
Yeah.
So I think that's amazing. That's so neat that you thought to do something like that to get proof and evidence and corroboration on Katie's story, because her story really was just made my mind just explode. And all of your books, Marcel, can be found on Instagram. What am I saying? On Amazon.
Yes.
So all three of his books, you guys can type in Dr. Marcel Pulte. If you click on his name, it will bring up a menu of all of his books. His books obviously have very unique names also. So if you type in the beginning of his books, there's not a lot of other things that come up, but they come up pretty easily. But I will also have them in the show notes for you guys. So all you have to do, go in the show notes. They light up like hyperlinks and you just click it and it'll direct you to the page, and I'll have pages for all of his individual books, as well as I just want to plug 50 Voices, which is at 50voices.org. And that's the number 50, not spelled out. This is an incredible library of 50 testimonies. A lot of you guys will know some of these names that are on here. There'll be some brand new names. Some people are anonymous. But what they did that was really special was they made it all available in English and German. So regardless of your language barrier here in the United States, we have access to subtitles that are translated, as well as voiceovers that help give you the English version of all of these testimonies if you're not from one of these countries. Incredible testimonies on here. They're all very digestible. They're shortened, 10, 15 minutes about. There's people from all over the world, men, women, all different ages. You see Spolly here. She's been on. We've seen a couple other people that have been on. There's Ron, who was just on. There's lots of people on here that you guys will know, and you're also going to be introduced to so many other heroes and wounded warriors that have come up to speak. So I'm going to plug that also in the show notes for you guys, so you guys can go check that out. Is there anywhere else that people can connect with you, Marcel, or any more websites that you have that I didn't bring up?
No, it's fine like this. I had a website before, but I took it down because I found I have so many contacts already, and I need my time for them. It would not be fair to get into contact with new persons, and then at the end I don't have enough time for the new contacts and the remaining ones. So I had to restrict myself. Another information: the 50 Voices testimonies are also now available in other languages as well, and other subtitles. I think in French, in Russian, and I think also in Spanish, you should find those links to other channels where you find the testimonies with other language subtitles on the internet page. This is not done by the core team, but other very helpful and great supporters that offered to do subtitles in other languages to those testimonies, so even more people can understand those testimonies and spread the truth.
That's amazing. That's a request I've gotten, and I'm like, I don't speak other languages, you guys. This is what you get for right now. You know, I love that you were able to do that, because that's, you know, I think a lot of things are done in English or just in one specific language, and it can't be circulated. So it kind of stays in its own echo chamber in that country. And I love that you're giving the opportunity for people all over the world to hear the same things. That's incredible. Yeah. So
if someone has special knowledge in a certain language and has the time and the wants to do this, he can contact via the contact email given on the 50voices.org internet page and contact the team of 50 Voices and speak to them how this can be done. Thanks a lot to all of those who contributed to this.
Yes, and thank you to you, Marcel, for supporting survivors, for supporting these really important projects, for not turning a blind eye, and for digging deeper when a lot of people are faced with the same information that you were and they turn away. You know, even therapists that are faced with this information are like, oh, I don't even want to look at it, it doesn't exist. And here you are, a lawyer, and you're faced with this information in your studies, and you just keep digging deeper and deeper. And I really appreciate you. I admire you. You've been such a core part of this community, and I'm so excited to see all the work that you will be doing, because I know you're just getting your feet wet and you have such a big part in this movement.
Thank you so much. And I'm also happy to see the further outcome of your very, very great podcast channel and the many more survivor voices that you will bring out there.
Absolutely. And I'd love to have you back probably 100 more times. So let's definitely connect and get you back on again. But you guys, please go connect with Marcel. His books are just phenomenal, wealth of information. And it talks about a lot of stuff on that you've heard on this podcast in bits and pieces. He condenses it all into really easy to read, thorough, clinical, scientific backed books that you guys can really dig into. A lot of the proof that has been out there that we haven't been exposed to because it's not easy to find anymore, and it's not common knowledge. So I would encourage you guys to please all go support his books. Get his book on Katie Groves also, the Uncle Sam's book. That one, again, helps eternalize her story. And Katie has an absolutely incredible story. It's heartbreaking, but it really opens up your eyes whenever you read it. These books also make great gifts. So if there's anybody that has a birthday coming up or any holidays that you guys are looking for your awakened friends, it's always nice to support survivors and go right to their business and support them. It helps resource them. The stuff does get expensive. It's time consuming, and you donate a lot of time to stuff. And I feel like the least that we can do is help resource survivors, help resource survivor advocates to help cover their costs so they can keep doing all this stuff. And, you know, eventually I would love to see careers made of doing this type of thing, you know? So please go support Marcel, dig into all of his knowledge, go watch 50 Voices. I'll have that link below also. I'll have all my links below, you guys. Connect with me on all platforms also. I appreciate you guys so much for always listening, tuning in, and supporting. I'm so grateful for all of you. God bless you all, and we will see you next time.